It's good to see you all tonight. We appreciate your being here at the evening service. You know, we'd all like to believe that everybody in life would always want to do the right thing. But that's not the case. You see, doing the right thing is the right way. But we know, just taking a casual look at humankind, that there is no right way to do a wrong thing, and that many people attempt to do the right thing in the wrong way. Now, I said that to take you back tonight in history to the book of Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3 and verses 8 through 11. You know, when you read the Bible and you look at humankind, you understand that many people do the right thing, but they go about it with wrong intentions, or they go about it in the wrong way, and they end up making things worse. You know, a person who's driving down the wrong side of the highway is going to provoke a lot of injury to someone, and it happens all the time. But doing the right thing the wrong way is the topic of our discussion. Now, how does that happen? Well, we know, first of all, it's unacceptable to God. People can come into the house of worship with intentions to glorify God, but they go about it sometimes in the wrong way. Now, the story I'm alluding to in the book of Leviticus 10 is a story about Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu. Now, they were sons of the most high priest, Aaron, and they were given responsibilities concerning a lot of things within the kingdom. One of the things that they were charged with, and you can go back and look at this whole thing if you want to, verses 1 through 11, you'll discover what they were to do. And I want to read this, actually beginning in verse 1 there. The Bible says, "Then Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, made a mistake." You know, we often refer to our sins by trying to minimize them, but calling it a mistake and not sin. One translation here, I found that, and I thought it was interesting. They took the in. It really wasn't a mistake in a way. It was something that was an intentional thing. They took their incense dishes and put some fire and incense in them, but they did not use the fire that was on the altar. They took fire from another place and brought it unto the Lord, and it was not what God had commanded. You know, we always should know that if we do something that God has not commanded, it is not permissible, not according to God. For the Bible says that whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. Now listen to the rest of this. "So the fire came from the Lord and destroyed Nadab and Abihu, and they died there in front of the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, 'The Lord says, the priest who come,'" he says, "'who come near me must respect me, and I must be holy to them and to all the people.' So Aaron did not open his mouth." He didn't say anything at all about God striking his two sons dead, because he knew that they were in violation of what God had commanded. "And among those who are near me," he says, God says, "I will be sanctified, and before all people," he says, "I will be glorified." "Then the Lord said to Aaron, 'You and your sons must not drink wine or strong drink when you come into the meeting place.'" Now, they had desecrated the place by their own feelings about certain things. They were thinking, well, this really isn't that bad. This isn't wrong. And that's the way sometimes people rationalize when they enter into the house of worship. "If you do," he says, "you will die. This law continues now and for future generations that are on the horizon." They were doing the right thing in the wrong way. Now get that picture. They were charged to worship God. They were charged to carry fire. But they got it from the wrong place. And because they did, God took his vengeance out on their disobedience. Now, a lot of people say, well, I just don't think God acts that way today. I'm not so sure that God doesn't act that way today. Because my God has not changed. Jesus has not changed. For the book of Hebrews 13 and verse 8, the scripture says that he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. See, God can do anything that he wants to do. He is sovereign. But notice what he says in verse 10. You must be able to clearly tell the difference between what is holy and what is not holy, between what is clean and what is unclean. And you must teach the people about all the laws that the Lord gave them through Moses. Now, they didn't all want to listen to it, but some did hear. Now, what is a strange fire? The Bible just simply called it that to identify the fact that they didn't offer up what God had offered, you know, and what God had commanded. Now, you know, we do that in a lot of ways, really, when you think about it. Nadab and Abihu violated God's law. But you know what? We can violate God's law as well. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:7, he says, there are some that are ever learning, but they are never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know why? They're not reading the Bible. They're basing what they think upon what someone else said. That's why I tell people all the time. That's why I put these scriptures up here. For you to look at, it's not just something I'm telling you, but I'm showing you, and you can use two of your senses. It can be visual, you're looking at it, and you can hear it also. You can listen to it. Now, James 4:17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So what Nadab and Abihu did was sinful. It wasn't just making a mistake. But it was simple, and it was intentional. And the Bible has a lot to say about intentional sin or presumptuous sin. And perhaps that's why David said, keep thou my soul from presumptuous sins. And the word presumptuous means willful sin. We are to be people that follow the commandments of God by being kind and tolerant and patient in all things. I like Psalms chapter 19. It's one of the great chapters in the Old Testament. Keep your servant also from willful sins. It was a quote, that they may not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of the great transgression. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be, one translation says pleasing, as I put up here, but another says, acceptable in thy sight, O God. You know, there are a lot of lessons that we learn from the death of Nadab and Abihu. We learn, first of all, that there are prohibitions from God. Sometimes God just directly comes out and says, don't do this. You are prohibited from, changing the concept of worship and how we worship before God. There are prohibitions from God that says we are not to change or alter or ameliorate any of the great commandments of our Father in heaven. He mentions, first of all, intoxication by strong drink. And I know this is a sensitive area with a lot of people, but it is something that God says. God does not condone drunkenness. Now, I know people who think, well, it's all right if in your own home to get drunk. If you want to do that, it's all right. You can go to bed, get drunk. Not so, not according to God. Not in verses 8 and 9. I still believe today that there are people, there are Christians that are putting themselves in jeopardy with God by violating this commandment of the Lord God. For in Ephesians 5 and 18, the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And then the very next verse says that we're to sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Wine is a mocker, and beer is brawling. A brawler, whatever is led astray by them is not wise. And it isn't, is it? Not according to what he says. Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. He says, there are those, and these are the works of the flesh, envying and drunkenness and carousing and things like these. Anything that remotely resembles it, he says, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But to the contrary, in Romans 13:13, Paul says, let us walk in honesty as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in gambling and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, I'll just take a drink. I'm not saying that you can condemn someone for taking a drink of alcohol necessarily. It all depends on what it does to you and if it's impairing your ability to think straightly. But we know that drunkenness is condemned by God. Sin should be avoided and not accepted, based upon 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and verse 10 as well. They were doing the right thing, but they were doing it in the wrong way. Remember the story of Uzzah and how they were carrying the cart, and only the priests of God were to do that. And yet when they were carrying that beautiful ornament that God had commanded that they carry, the Ark of the Covenant, then the wrong men were carrying it to begin with, and it looked as though it was going to fall. And Uzzah reached over and grabbed it and tried to stay it, and God smote him from heaven because he had no authority to do it. Folks, let me tell you something. There are some things that God has condemned, and we're not to be a part of it. But we have a lot of people today that say, well, it's all right because I had good intentions. Good intentions have nothing to do with it. God's not concerned about your intentions. He's concerned about his law. And then he brings to mind the fact that the sanctuary of God had been desecrated, number two. You see, God's house is a sacred place. It's special, and it deserves respect. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, this is not the temple of God, or this is not the synagogue. But in principle, it is the house of God. This building was purchased with holy money. I don't think you just let it go to pot. I don't think you destroy it intentionally. Sometimes that happens. But God does not need us to do anything for him based on Psalms 51 and verse 17. For in the 111th Psalm in verse 9, David says, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Did you know that's the only time the word reverend is mentioned in the Bible? It's the only time. That's why you don't call a preacher reverend. I'm not to be revered any more than any other man is. And Peter established that when they came down to Cornelius and they fell down before him and he said, stand up, for I myself am a man. I'm not to be revered, but I have a lot of people in town that call me reverend. I try to explain it to them, and seems like I get a little bit deeper into it than they want to go. I understand what they're saying. They're saying, we appreciate you and we honor you. I don't need any honor. I don't need to be revered. God is the one who is reverend, and holy is your name. In Acts 17, when Paul had gone to Athens, Greece, in verse 24, the God he's preaching, the God who made the world and everything that is therein, the Lord of heaven and the Lord of earth does not live in temples built by human hands. God's not living here. God's here now, but he's going to leave when we leave. Did you know that? He is. He's not confined to a pew up here. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Now, I understand this law of God that says God will not hold them blameless who hold their own hearts higher than his law. See what he's saying? He's saying, so all these people that, have an intention or perhaps their desire is to do the right thing, and you have to commend them for doing that. But is that the right thing? If it's wrong, it is wrong. It doesn't make any difference. They were doing the right thing, but they were doing it in the wrong way. And then there was the contamination, one thing we learned from this story, of the sacred things down in verse 10. The church is not a concert. That's not what we're about. A lot of people think so, but the church is a place of worship. When we come together, we're worshiping God. That's why the church is not an entertainment venue. And the church should be different. Perhaps we rely on entertainment in the church to keep things interesting. I've had people even tell me that, because we do not rely enough on God to keep our gatherings compelling. And that's what should happen. And a church that cannot worship must be entertained. And people who can't lead a church to worship must provide entertainment. And that's why it's gotten that way today, folks. You look around, you know, the people, listen, buildings that are filled to capacity are filled by people who are wanting to be entertained. That's exactly right. You know what I'm talking about, and that's why they've changed. And then he mentions the concept of starvation of the Scripture. He said, you didn't know the law. They knew the law, right? But they had refused to do the will of God in verse 11. People do unauthorized things in worship because they're not following the Bible. That's why, you know, we ought to be baptized. We understand that. But we have people out in the religious world that consider sprinkling or pouring water on someone's head as baptism. They wanted to do the right thing to be baptized, but that is not New Testament baptism. It's just not. For baptism is actually an immersion in water, and such translations like the New International Version or perhaps the American Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, uses the word immerse to help people. They don't use the word baptize. That's a transliterated word anyway. But the Bible must be our guide. For where there is no Scripture, there is no structure. Paul writes about that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when he teaches us that we are to search the Scriptures. And we are to search the Scriptures. But a lot of folks are just thinking about entertainment. And I'm sure probably in the mind of Nadab and Abihu, they were thinking, hey, we'll do something a little bit different out here. And we got thousands of churches tonight that are doing all kinds of things that are different. And that's what they are about, instead of following God's law. The church is about worship, not about entertainment. That's why God tells us how to worship Him. Do you know that? That's why we observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week, because God commanded it. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And he also said in his ministry, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So there are a lot of things that we may think are all right that are not all right. They were doing the right thing, but they were doing it in the wrong way. The silence of the Scripture does not, listen, the silence of the Scripture doesn't mean it's okay for you to do anything you want to do. God doesn't address every subject, but he does mention the such like. When he talks about all the sins of people, then he says, and anything that is the such like. That's why we don't sing with instruments on the Lord's Day in here. We lift our voices unto God like Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16 and 17 teach. That's why we don't sprinkle little babies, but we baptize believers. Little babies can't believe, but we baptize believers, and we do it in the way that God has commanded it. Every item of worship. Silence does not give consent to do wrong. Nadab and Abihu could not have used that excuse anyway because they knew it. And God wasn't silent. God spoke. A lukewarm message may draw many people to your entertainment-driven church. And that's probably true. But it's not what God says. But never will it draw you to the uncompromised Jesus Christ of Nazareth. A lot of people have given up. You know why people don't go to church sometimes like they ought to in various places, even large denominations, is they're fed up with the entertainment fatigue. They're tired of it. It's a fad. And people are tired of the church's glitzy stage. And when Nadab and Abihu sinned, God punished them, verses 2 through 7. Character of the punishment is borne out. It was death. And there was cause for punishment. Because verse 3 says they disobeyed God. And carriers after the punishment carried it in the right way. And there was constraint over the punishment, as it's described in verses 6 and 7, and it is determined by God. Don't do the right thing in the wrong way. Don't be guilty of doing that. You can come to worship like many of you have come to worship tonight. I hope your heart is right with God. If you come tonight with intentions that are not born out of love for God, hey, it's meaningless. We must remember that is any fire just fire? And is that okay with God as an act of worship? No. No more than we can abandon why we worship and the one we worship. And even God's plan of salvation, there's so many that have abandoned and are teaching things that are contrary to the gospel. They say they're preaching the gospel, but they're not. They're doing the right thing, need to be doing, preaching the gospel, but do it in the right way. Now maybe tonight you're not a Christian. We appeal to you based upon the truth of God's eternal word. That if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and a willingness is there to acknowledge Christ as Lord and Savior, and you're willing to be immersed in water, baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and we're willing to assist you in doing that tonight while we stand and while we sing.